WTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, reheating the leftovers.
Well, I can tell who does the Monday through Friday cooking in this house because I love leftover night because it means I don't have to cook. But what we're applying it to today is not as simple as you like leftovers, you don't like leftovers. This is the arguments that get reheated over and over again.
And the past hurts that keep coming up and holding us back.
Yep.
And just aren't a whole lot of fun to deal with. I mean, the fact is all of us have those moments where we return to certain arguments that we have with someone we care about, somebody that's in our life. You know, certain issues that are hard to get past or get over. And you kind of get to the point where you feel like, well, what's the point even talking about it? Because it never really moves, you know, never really moves the thing down the field. But it still kind of gnaws at you.
Well, I was going to say, you might think, what's the point of having that argument with that person in our life? But I guarantee you, you're having that argument with that person in your life, in your head. And you can't get anywhere when you're arguing with an imaginary person and you're not actually problem solving, except that it ruins your spiritual, emotional, and sometimes your physical well-being when you're doing battle with that person in your head.
And the other related thing that we're talking about here today are you know, those old hurts, you know, where somebody has done something to you and you're not quite sure how to get past it.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe, you know, the conversations you have had with them haven't been productive, or they're not open to talking about it at all, or they're not even in your life, and you're stuck holding the bag for this thing.
Or you think you've made progress with them, and then at some get-together, they do something that pokes at that wound again, as though they never heard a word you said, they never resolved anything with you, even though you thought you did. And then you're not trusting your own perception of how it went down, and you're not trusting them, and you're feeling angry and defensive and, yeah, even a little scared to be in that person's orbit because you don't feel like you can trust yourself or them. And that really tears us down. That really opens more wounds in us, especially when we just don't know how to proceed.
So, you know, what old stuff keeps coming up for you? And we want to help you find grace-filled ways to move past it. Tell us, are you tired of having the same argument with someone over and over again? Or at least keeping that thing in your head, right? And replaying that past argument or old hurt over and over again. Are there certain old hurts that are holding you back? Or stopping you and someone you care about from being as close as you wish you could be? We want to help you find grace-filled ways to discover solutions and move past the past. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. In preparing for the show, I came across an article from the Templeton Foundation, which is an organization dedicated to promoting faith and science. And they recently published a study on resilience, and there's a study called Rethinking Resilience. And the study really reflect on the fact that resilience, our bounce back ability, in other words, when we're going through difficult times, you know, how do we move past it, like what we're talking about on the show today. And what the study really shows is that resilience, our ability to bounce back, doesn't look like heroic comebacks. Like, it doesn't change all of a sudden in one big way.
Like a Super Bowl win.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Like the Steelers have pulled off for the last couple of games where it's down, it's miserable, and then suddenly that major, amazing play happens and they win. We often think it has to be that way in our practical day-to-day lives, and when it isn't, we don't feel like we're on the winning team.
But instead of that, resilience, that bounce-back ability, looks more like subtle, persistent acts of choosing to keep going. So resisting that temptation to just accept things for the way they are, and continuing, you know, as people of faith, to bring that challenge to God and say, okay, now what, Lord? How do I move forward with this? you know, this and revisit this argument from a new angle, or how do I revisit this old problem from a new perspective? You know, psychologists distinguish resilience, which is sustained functioning through adversity, right? So it's continuing to make good choices about the stressful thing that we're facing, even if it's an old hurt, from recovery, which is a dip and then return. In other words, you know, where we feel better about the argument and we say, okay, fine, I'm gonna let it go. And then it eats at us, it eats at us, it eats at us, and then we go repeat the pattern. And psychologists note that growth often happens gradually, you know, not in those dramatic leaps. And the victory over old pain isn't flashy, you know, but it's lived out in a consistent, faithful approach to the problems that we face. And that's really what we're talking about today on More to Life, on our show titled Reheating the Leftovers. Whether you're replaying old arguments or replaying past hurts, we want to help you find those grace-filled ways to take step-by-step out of that pain, out of that conflict, and into the solutions that God has in His heart for you.
Well, I also want to emphasize what you said here, which is bringing these things to God, and not just saying, God, give me the strength to continue in this, but to say to the Lord, Lord, my way's not working. Show me what virtues I need to bring to this that I haven't brought to this so far. Show me what insights you can give my mind that will help me to communicate with this person more. Show me if you want me to continue in this or you want me to make another choice. So it's not just persistence in doing the same thing. It's not persistence in suffering. It's persistence in virtue.
Well, and that's a great segue into our Theology of the Body reflection. You know, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And, you know, you might be thinking, what does some highfalutin theology have to teach me about getting over old hurts? Well, turns out everything. You know, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a really big question. Basically, he said, if we looked at everything God's given us, you know, creation, scripture, salvation, history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And out of that came what we call today the theology of the body.
And that theology of the body reminds us that we are created not to react, but to receive and respond. St. John Paul II often emphasized that love is always that love is always a response to God's love first. When we're stuck in rehashing old arguments or dwelling on past hurts, that's really just what the theology of the body calls reactivity, which is letting our pain and our fear drive the bus.
Well, right. And in reactivity feels like self-protection. That's why it's kind
it
of
really
addictive.
It really does, yeah.
You know, we say to ourselves, if I keep going over this, maybe I can prevent it from happening again. But in reality, it's a little like picking at a scab. You know, instead of protecting us, it keeps the wound open. And we end up hurting ourselves over and over.
And by contrast, the receptivity that John Paul II talked about is a posture that constantly calls to us. It's about stepping back, recentering ourselves in God's grace, and being open to the Holy Spirit's leading. Receptivity doesn't mean pretending we are not hurt. It means saying, yes, I am sad or angry, but I want to invite God into this moment so I can respond in a way that leads to healing instead of perpetuating the hurt.
Well, right. You know, so basically receptivity creates a sacred pause, you know, a little space between our first impulse and the chosen response. That's what allows us to seek healing and offer repentance when necessary or pursue reconciliation when possible.
And prayer makes this concrete. For example, in the middle of feeling that old argument rising up again, you might stop and pray, Lord, you see how much this hurts. Please help me step out of my reactivity and into your grace. Show me how to respond in a way that glorifies you, heals my heart, and invites the people I love to be their best selves too.
You know, and that's the kind of prayer that allows us to receive God's love in the moment so that we can respond with love even in those hardest moments. And that's what we're all shooting for here today on More to Life, as we talk about reheating the leftovers and replaying old arguments, recycling past hurts. How do we move past them in a way that allows us to respond to those hurts so that it can lead to healing? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's bring our concerns to the Lord. And we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today and we bring to you those arguments that we keep having over and over again with that person that we care about, that we can't seem to move past, those old pains and hurts that we keep recycling. And we ask you to help us to resist the temptation to settle, to just accept that this is the way it is, and this is the way it's always going to be. But instead to keep bringing those situations to you and ask you for the help to move forward. Lord, as your adopted sons and daughters, you ask us to cooperate with your grace to set the world to rights, to make it a more just world, to make it a healthier and holier world. And that all begins, help us to realize that all begins in our own personal lives and relationships, and that you have a plan for helping us move past these hurts and resolve these conflicts. Help us to be receptive to the grace that you're giving us, to the vision that you have, and help us to walk those steps so that we can find the grace-filled solutions that you have in your heart for us, and keep moving forward so that we can glorify you, respond in a way that enables us to be our best selves, and challenge the people involved to be their best selves too. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, reheating the leftovers. We're talking about when old things keep coming back up again, whether that's an old argument that you keep having over and over, or an old hurt that keeps coming back that you're not quite sure how to heal. Let's talk it out and find grace-filled ways forward. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Linda, who's listening to EWTN Radio in San Antonio on Guadalupe Radio.
Linda, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Well, good morning. I'm wondering how to move forward with something that does come up frequently, among other kind of major issues in the marriage. So just minutes ago, actually, I came upon my husband's eBay, you know, his past purchases, and I'd seen some of these, and the amount was kind of staggering, and like, especially over the years, but even just this, you know, this year. And when he came down, I said, John, you left this open. This is staggering, you know, and we can't even, fix
can,
our,
can you give us a hint of how much we're talking about here?
Round figures.
I was going to itemize it, but like, I'll give you one example for just gas tanks. A lot of it is like military kind of stuff, you know, and preparation kind of stuff. But like $99 for military gas cans, and I'm like, Johnny, we don't need that. We've got 13 in the garage right now. 13, you know, not military gas cans, and and then he just blew up, and you know, in a very volatile, crude way, and. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a man. I won't even use the expletive that he used.
I understand. Yeah.
And
I get where you went. You know,
so very harsh
like,
with you.
All the time. And I'm like, I don't go to, he says that I go weekly, which is wrong, but I get like our shampoo there. our body wash, the boys' shoes. You know, I mean, it's a completely different thing.
You shared with our screener that it's not just the spending, it's the fact that there are things in the house that are in disrepair, and you don't have a plan for addressing those, and then you find him spending this money.
Yeah, I've
on
asked
these kinds
him
of things
because
you don't.
We've got yes, our specifically our shower could use some refreshing, you know. And he's like, we don't have the money. I'm like, okay.
Let me ask you, it sounds like you guys have never in a calm moment or made a practice of sitting down and discussing a budget and the things you both feel are necessary and planning together when you're both calm, not when something suddenly come up. Is that true?
Well, I've tried, and he said, I talked about this years ago, and we actually did come up with a budget, which kind of indicated that things were tight. And we actually did do that. I should have done it years ago, but he actually makes pretty good money, and everything was pretty smooth.
Yeah.
And so I didn't feel the need to, like, itemize the budget. So,
okay.
So a couple of things here. So. I'm going to throw out some things that, and we've only got about 2 minutes, so I'm going to jump in here. There are a couple other questions I'd love to ask, but we don't have time. So number one, I don't know if you guys pray together or if he's open to praying together about these kinds of things, but that's got to be number one. And in our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, we talk about how to begin praying about these kinds of things. And basically the short version is, saying to God every day, okay, Lord, you know, I know how I feel about this. He knows how he feels about this. But help us to figure out what you want for us, and help us to take care of each other while we work together to figure that out. If your husband's willing to pray with you, I would really encourage you guys to start praying that way about these kinds of issues, recognizing that God is in control and he has a plan for your marriage. And these particularly sensitive issues like finances, you know, are always hard for most couples to talk about. But when we can go to God and say, look, you know, this is what's on my heart, this is what's on my wife's heart, but we want to do what you want us to do. Teach us and help us to take care of each other while we work to figure that out. That's a really critical step. Whether he is or is not willing to do that with you, you might end up having to force this issue, because the dynamic in the relationship right now is that he kind of gets to do what he wants, so why would he change, right? And unless he kind of runs up against you putting up real practical blocks to his behavior, he's not going to change. And so what I mean by that is that you're going to take his lead, okay? And you can say to him, "Honey, you're the lead, you're the head of the house, okay? So I'm going to follow your example on how to do things. And since the example that you're giving is that we don't need to talk to each other about purchases, I've scheduled somebody to come in and look at the bathroom." He's going to lose his mind, all right? But the point is not, and the point is not that you're doing this again. You're saying, this is the example that you're setting, and the example that I'm going to follow, unless we sit down and decide how to be partners together. You're not doing that to be spiteful, to be whatever. You're doing that, it's called in therapy, it's called an enactment. An enactment is when you do something that you know is going to upset the apple cart with the intention of forcing a change. And that's the only way this is going to work, because he's going to keep doing this because he's getting his way and he doesn't have to listen to you. You've alluded, and I will say that I think there's an emotional issue here behind the spending too. You mentioned him being a prepper, and this is not true of all preppers, but you know, I suspect that, you know, he struggles to feel in control of his life. And so he spends to try to feel more in control, and the way he's spending is on this, you know, all these kinds of things.
And a huge amount of us do that.
But he's not going to address that psychological wound unless you force the issue by saying, I can't wait anymore, and since this is the pattern that you're setting with our finances, I'm doing this. So you create a little bit of a crisis to force the conversation that leads to some kind of change. The third step is, if you're seeing that that's not working and that's escalating things further, he's never willing to sit down at the table, then it's time to get some professional counseling help. And even if he won't go, you start to go so that you can learn to set better boundaries with him that will bring him to the table. But this is one of those things where there's a basic failure of respect, or at least around these issues in the relationship, where he's not open to your influence at all. And as long as that continues to exist, you're not going to be able to get your needs met, and the relationship is going to continue to deteriorate. So by forcing the issue, well, hopefully praying together first, as I said, but then if you need to, force the issue, and if that doesn't work, getting that professional help to really drive this forward and learn some new skills, either for yourself or the relationship, is going to be the next step. And you can learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. We have to go to break right now. Linda, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or at CatholicCounselors.com. When we come back, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, who'll be sharing some insights on how to get past the past.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Hi, this is Mike Ditka.
Hey, this is Brian May.
Hi, I'm Chris Farley. You're listening to The Kevin Matthews Show.
I thought he was insane. A lot of people thought he was insane.
Nobody could touch us. We had 10 million people listening to us a week.
But that was my past. If you would have told me I'd be carrying around a broken statue of the Virgin Mary, talking about God, I'd say, are you high?
Broken Mary, the Kevin Matthews story. In theaters one day only on Tuesday, October 7th. Tickets at BrokenMaryFilm.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, reheating the leftovers. We're talking about replaying old arguments and recycling past hurts. How do we find grace-filled ways to heal and move on? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She directs our program in performance excellence, where she works with Catholic athletes, performers, and executives and others who need to perform under pressure. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me.
So how do we break free from the cycle of past hurts?
One of the things that I hear most often when clients are bringing up a past hurt is things like, well, it was ages ago, I should be over it by now.
Yeah.
I think we receive that idea from phrases like, you know, time heals all wounds, right? But the truth is, it's not about the time passing. It's what we do with the time. And just giving something time doesn't help it heal. Because when we think that way, and then we kind of take that step back, we realize that we've still been living in the hurt. We haven't actually been working on it. So instead of just giving it time or thinking we should be over it with time, we have to start looking at our intentional steps to address it, not to revisit it and rehash it in our mind or out loud with somebody else, but the action plan. What specifically do we need to do to heal internally, or what do I need to do with this other person to work towards healing in our relationship? Just the way that our brains are typically wired, we focus primarily on the problem. And we think that by focusing on the problem, a solution will come out of that. But in order
So what do we need to do instead?
Well, in order to effectively make that change, we need to focus instead on what is the need that we're trying to meet. You know, I need to feel heard by this person. I need to feel, you know, supported in the next thing. I need help with why. You know, whatever it is. Identify and even write down specifically what that need is and what's that underlying need in that hurt that keeps resurfacing, and then create a plan. What can I do to meet this need in a healthy way, or work with another person? What can we do together to meet that need or each other's needs in healthy ways? And then, two, we need to identify, when we identify what that need is, we need to take it to God and say, Lord, how do you want me to respond to this need in a way that's going to lead me towards that greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in my life or in my relationships? And then finally, we just need to take a step. Whether we feel like we have it all figured out or not, we just need to start. You know, take one step and then the next. And when we invite God into that, we'll grow and he will be directed in the way that we need to go. We have to start and take messy action, because not taking any action is what gets us stuck in that cycle of old hurt.
Rachel, thanks for being with us. Great tips and insights. If folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to check out the program in performance excellence at CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls, listeners, about getting past old hurts and overcoming old arguments. 877-573-7825.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
He was a doctor of the Church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. For there is no love, he said, put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Throughout Scripture, again and again, we hear that we're to not be afraid, that we must trust in the Lord and be confident in God's providence, deliverance, mercy, and constant care. As theologian Hans Urs von Balthasar once observed, quote, when one surveys even from a distance how often and how openly sacred Scripture speaks of fear and anxiety, an initial conclusion presents itself. The Word of God is not afraid of fear or anxiety, end quote. What a powerful observation. When we feel anxious, God wants us to wrap ourselves in his grace. But sometimes that's easier said than done. A good place to start is to take a moment to remind yourself of all the other times when you were sure you were doomed, but God came through. Allow yourself to relive the relief you felt in those past moments. Then praise God for his past faithfulness and ask for the grace to remember that he is still as faithful now as he was then. To learn more tips for overcoming anxiety, check out my book, Unworried, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Reheating the Leftovers, as we talk about the tendency we have to replay old arguments or recycle past hurts. How can we find grace-filled ways to heal and move forward? 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next caller, we want to give a big shout-out to two of our great EWTN radio partners, because they need to hear from you next week. Iowa Catholic Radio, with 10 stations in Iowa, kicks off their fall fundraiser on Tuesday, and so does Community Catholic Community Media, The Cross, with 4 stations serving Baton Rouge, New Orleans. We got to be there for them, folks.
So make sure that you are supporting your EWTN Catholic radio station, certainly with your prayers, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN radio going strong for decades to come so Amen. That we can keep supporting you in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. With that, our show today is titled Reheating the Leftovers. Are you tired of having the same arguments with someone over and over again? Are there certain old hurts that are holding you back or stopping you from being as close to someone as you care about? Let's talk about it. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Monica, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Monica. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you. I just had a question or just some ask for some advice regarding old hurts, as you're speaking of. Just within my marriage, we tend to have a lot of the same argument over and over about just my specific relationship with my in-laws. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm accepted, or there have been several instances where things have been said that I've found hurtful that never really get addressed. I kind of just have shoved them down for, you know, almost 25 mm-hmm. years, and it's kind of just built to the point now where my husband and I are having that same argument over and over. And
so let me ask you, Monica, why are you and your husband arguing about it?
I think it's because I feel like he doesn't, like, maybe defend me or maybe take my side in the mat. You know, sometimes I'm reactive when those things are said, much more so than he is. And while he may see the what was being said as maybe wrong, he is not going to say anything to address that. A lot of it is also done away from him. And so I feel like it's kind of like sticking me in a situation alone to where I almost
Do you ever speak up for yourself to your in-laws?
Oh, yes, all the time, which is another issue, because then I think I get tagged as, like, being difficult.
Tagged by who? Your husband or them?
Both, actually, yeah. I mean, he feels like, just don't respond so quickly. And then
so let me ask you this. If you stopped caring about about what they thought of you, what would that change?
Probably everything. I mean,
in what way? Name a couple of things for me, because I love the laugh. It was like a light bulb moment for you, and you're thinking,
And
by
the way,
a few pictures going through.
I don't mean to say that's easy. We all want our in-laws to care about us.
We all want a big, happy family and to be accepted and appreciated for the wonderful spouse we are to their kid.
But it's sometimes helpful to sort of even just reflect on, like, if I stopped caring about their opinion of me, how would I act differently? And so if you know, you seem to resonate with that. So if that was the case for you, how would you change?
I think that it would just be so much easier to be in their presence, to just be able to be myself. I feel like I'm very guarded in everything I say and do. And so if I just didn't have to worry about a response, or if I didn't, you know, really feel like there was any kind of judgment or anything like that, then I could just kind of be me and find that freedom in that.
I think you'd be less upset with your husband too, right? Because you wouldn't need him to try to change their minds.
You'd be more empowered to just be you, as you said, Monica.
So look, I realize it's not as easy as this, okay? But I think this is the answer, right?
I think you just gave yourself permission, because the lightness in your voice now, as opposed to the heaviness in your voice when you asked your question, is palpable. You've just said, "Oh, wait a minute. Let me just be who I am." And I think that is so, so, so freeing for you.
And, you know, I don't know the details here. We don't have time to get into all of it. But I've had this same conversation with lots of couples before. And sometimes it's the husband's family. Sometimes it's the wife's family. But the thing that's common, okay, is that the spouse whose parents are the problem, you know, that spouse knows they're not going to change. They grew up in that system. They know that's how mom and dad are. It's not a battle worth fighting, because you can't win it.
Yeah, and you've been around it for 25 years, but add the 20-plus years that your spouse was raised by these people, he knows an area of defeat when he's lived it that long.
And so what I would say, that doesn't mean you accept that you have to accept disrespectful behavior from them.
Abuse in any way.
What it means is that you have the right to change your relationship accordingly. For example, one of the things I think that if you stop caring what they thought, one of the things you might be able to do is to say, well, you know what, we don't have to be around them as much anymore. I can limit our relationship, not cut them off, but I can limit our relationship to those places where they tend to behave better. You know, I can limit our conversations with them to the topics where they handle better. I would actually ask you to do that, to reflect a little bit on, you know, two things. One, how would you be if you gave yourself permission to stop caring what they thought about you?
And I really encourage you to write that down, because right now you've had this little mini revelation. There's lots going through your head. So when you get off the phone with us, grab a piece of paper, start writing down those things that would change, especially the ones that make you feel lighter and freer and more of yourself, because they are going to pull the same nonsense in some short amount of time here. And it will be good for you to go back and not just remember that you had this conversation on Mortal Life, but to say, oh, this is the conversation I had with myself, and this is who I want to be in this situation. It will be your armor and encouragement to allow yourself to stop caring.
And the second question I'd like you to ask yourself is if you could stop caring in that same way, you know, how could you allow them to be in your life, but how would the relationship change? You know, maybe you'd see them less, or maybe you'd only see them in public as opposed to going to their house or having them come to your house. Or maybe you'd have fewer conversations, whatever. Or maybe there are certain topics that you wouldn't talk with them because they don't tend to handle those topics well. And if they brought them up, you'd say, I know that we think differently about this. I'm just not going to talk about this with you anymore. What kind of boundaries would you set to set yourself free from these kinds of things?
If I were you, anytime you guys went to their house, if you have two cars, I would take two cars. And you just say, honey, you can stay as long as you want, but I'm going to take my car just in case this starts to get uncomfortable for me. I don't want to make you miserable. I'll just politely excuse myself so I can go home and get some stuff done. You enjoy your time with your family.
And we're not necessarily saying that specific thing, but that's an example of the kinds of things you could do if you cared less about what they think of you. The thing is, and we've done shows on this before, there are certain, what I would call negative love languages that people have, right?
Yes.
And one love language that people have that I think your in-laws are displaying toward you is I will never approve of you. Now, how is that a love language? Well, what happens when I don't approve of you? What happens? You work harder to get my approval, and that keeps you in the relationship. And also, whenever you finally crack and lash out at me, I get to feel superior. Because I'm way better than that harpy woman that my son married, you know.
We're not saying that's what you are, Monica. We're saying that this happens to people all the time.
But it makes me feel good about myself. So it's a game, right? That they're playing with you. I'm not saying they're doing it intentionally. I think they're doing it unconsciously. But it's this game where if we can just keep disapproving of Monica, then she's going to keep working harder to get our approval, and we get to feel good about ourselves too, because we're better than she is. And by you giving yourself permission to not play that game anymore, to stop caring about it, and to stop trying to, you know, make your husband change that dynamic, and just sort of say, this is the way they are, this is the way it's going to be, and it has nothing to do with me. They were like this before I showed up. They're going to be like this for a long, long time, and it just doesn't matter. It doesn't have anything to do with who I am or the relationship that I have, and I need to stop putting them between me and my husband. If you can get yourself to that place, it's going to change everything. Again, I know it's not going to happen overnight, but if you do what Lisa was suggesting and you write down some of these things that you would do differently, especially before you see them, right? So imagine that you're going to go see them, I don't know, over Thanksgiving or whatever. Before you go, sit down and write out, you know, if I didn't care what they thought, how would this Thanksgiving be different than all the other Thanksgivings I've had so far? You know, or the next phone call you have, you know, okay, I know mom's going to call, my mother-in-law's going to call, you know, if I didn't care what she thought of me, how would I handle that call differently than I usually do?
Would you even answer it?
Just start giving yourself permission to think differently about that relationship and stop playing the game that they've been setting you up to play. Because it's wearing you down, it's eating away at your marriage. This shouldn't be something that's coming between you and your husband.
And I would, Greg and I would say this if you were married a year, But we're saying it very strongly to you, Monica, to set you free from this, because you've been married for a quarter of a century. Any experiment that is done in the academic sphere for 25 years that keeps producing the same result is considered a significant result.
This is a longitudinal study you've completed to show that they are not going to change. And that's okay.
You've proven it out. So now you get to change any way you feel fit. Do it in as virtuous a way that heals your soul, that is kind to your husband. You don't have to do exactly what he says about it. You just have to, be kind about it.
And if this causes, a little tension, like, so for example, if you say, well, you know what, I can't be around as much, and he gets upset about that, well, then that's a conversation the two of you can have, right?
But you don't have to get mad about it. You just have to say, honey, we've been doing this for 25 years. I'm wounded by it. I'm exhausted by it. And since we haven't made any progress on it, this is what I'm really feeling like I need to do for my own well-being. And if he gets upset and wants you to jump through hoops, that's when you say, this is what I need to do for my well-being. What are you proposing that will protect my well-being that's different than what we've done before? You can have a calm conversation with that and lead him through it, but you're still putting your well-being, your spiritual and emotional well-being first, because being completely false, being virtuous is one thing. Being completely false, jumping through their hoops and trying to get their approval is setting them up as an idol. And that's not okay. God created you to be a particular woman. And if you have to be different just to try to make them happy, that's a form of idolatry instead of a form of virtue.
Right, because it's making the in-laws the focus of all of your attention and devotion, so to speak. But look, I realize this can't happen overnight, so if you need more support in making this happen and kind of healing those wounds that are holding you back, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I do think that you can certainly run with these suggestions and at least start thinking differently and praying a little bit differently about how you can extract yourself from this game that they've been playing with you that's just making Monica dance by withholding our approval from her.
And keep listening to the rest of the show, because who knows what else you'll pick up that the Holy Spirit wants you to hear. But when the show's over today, sit down, have a nice cup of coffee or tea, and start writing a list of how would you change if you didn't have to work for their approval all the time.
And again, if you need more personalized support with that, CatholicCounselors.com is here for you. Monica, thanks so much for the call. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. The show is titled Reheating the Leftovers, as we talk about replaying old arguments or recycling past hurts. We want to help you discover grace-filled ways to heal and move past the past. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Romans chapter 12, verse 21.
Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Now, when people hear this verse, I think the thing that comes to mind is, just be nice. And that's not what this verse is saying at all. This verse is saying that when we are tempted to just sort of surrender to the bad things that happen to us, to the hurts that the people inflict on us, to the difficult situations we find ourselves in, when we are tempted to settle and say, this is all there is and this is all there's going to be, we are actually being overcome by the evil that God came to deliver us from. And St. Paul is saying, don't settle for those same things happening over and over again. Don't have the same art. Don't just keep settling for the fact that this is the way it's going to be forever and ever. Bring it to God so that he can teach you how to overcome that evil with good. Just like we were talking about with Monica, instead of doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, instead of just saying this is the way it's always going to be, or feeling frustrated that it's not changing the way she's approaching it, overcoming that evil with good by saying, I'm not going to play the game anymore. I'm going to be myself, the person God's calling me to be, instead of dancing to the tune of my in-laws. This is just one example, but in all of these situations, we need to bring them to God and ask him to teach us how to respond differently, so that he can be glorified, so that we can be our best selves, even under pressure, and we can challenge the people that we care about, who are also involved, to be their best selves, too. And that's what we're talking about on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. The show, again, titled Reheating the Leftovers, as we talk about replaying old arguments, recycling past hurts, How can we find graceful ways to move past the past? 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after this.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Reheating the Leftovers, as we talk about our tendency to replay old arguments or recycle past hurts. How can we find grace-filled ways to heal and move past the past? Well, that's what we're talking about today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Before we take our next call, I wanted to let you know about some really interesting things happening tonight on The World Over with Raymond Arroyo. First of all, Bishop Thomas Paparaki of Springfield, Illinois, is going to be discussing his opposition to the controversial decision by the Archdiocese of Chicago to honor pro-abortion U.S. Senator Dick Durbin with a, quote, lifetime achievement award. In addition to that, Father Gerald Murray is going to be discussing the appointment of a new Archbishop of New Orleans. Dr. Waleed Fares is going to be discussing the ongoing persecution of Christians in Syria and the current state of the Israel-Hamas conflict. And Director Sean McNamara shares his new movie, Bow, Artist at War, opening September 26th. That's all happening tonight on The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN-TV and radio. And you can get news from The World Over in your email inbox every day. Just visit EWTN.com and click on subscribe. So check out The World Over tonight at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. All right. With that, we are taking our next call. Lisa, who's up?
Let's talk now with a caller who is listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Go ahead.
I
listen to your station as often as I can. I just happened to notice somebody call in about their spouse spending money and looking into their finances.
Yeah, earlier today, right. So that's touching your life in some way, huh? What's going on with you?
Yes, it is. That's what happened to me. You know, I started doing basically the same thing and found out that my wife was going through a lot of our money. So I started checking and then I go to finally when I really asked our most of our savings was gone. And so we're trying to move past this, but it's, for me...
What is trying to move past it look like? Does it mean you guys are doing something different with it, or are you just trying to forget about it?
No, well, a little bit of both, I guess. You know, I've kind of came back into my Catholic faith, you know, here recently, the last few years, and, you know, kind of everybody tells me, you know, just let it go, you know, and that kind of thing. And
no, don't let it go. No, you can't do that. So here's the thing. The problem with letting it go is it basically enables the bad behavior to continue. And so there has to be some kind of accountability. If we love somebody, that means working for their ultimate good. And so that at the very least means I'm not going to let you get away with doing things that are hurtful to you and to our relationship.
Because at this point, you know, it's not hurtful to her, you know, that you don't want this to hurt her, but also you're in a covenantal relationship with her. So that has to take primacy over all our comfort zones.
So it's not a matter of just letting it go. It's a matter of saying, what's the process we need to go through to make sure this doesn't happen again? You know, what kind of do we have to have accountability by maybe having monthly meetings with an accountant? Do we have to sit down with our bank statements every week and go over what's going on? And how can we work to develop the transparency around money that needs to happen so that we don't have this happen again? And she might fight you on it, and she might be, you know, upset with you for wanting to do that. But this is one of those times when love has to be tough. You know, you don't have to be mean about it. You don't have to be unkind, but you do have to be firm and say, honey, I love you, and I love you too much to let you keep being in this position where you're undermining my trust and you're squandering our savings. We need to figure this out, and I want to help you get to a better place so that I can learn to trust you again, and so that you can help be that healthy and responsible woman of God that you're being called to be. We can't keep doing this. So what's the process that we need to put in place to make sure that there's some accountability and that we can build back trust? Letting it go is not forgiveness. That is enabling. And there are a lot of Christians who really confuse that, because we think that holding somebody accountable is somehow rubbing their nose in it. That is not the case at all. Now, you know, if you're shaming her and you're yelling at her and you're calling her names about this, well, that's obviously not appropriate. But saying, I love you too much to let this continue, let's put some structure in place that's going to help us learn to trust each other, that's going to help you learn to be more responsible, that's going to help us work better together on finances, that's absolutely necessary. So, you know, just pretending that it didn't happen or saying, oh, well, you know, that's past is the past, that's a fool's errand, and that is not what God is calling you to. So I you know, if you're looking for ways to rebuild that trust and work through this, I'd encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to help learn the skills that you need to be more transparent with each other and have these hard conversations about finances and other things in your relationship. But you can at least, I hope you'll run with the suggestions that we've made here on the call, to resist that temptation to just say, well, you know, it's done. And instead say, what do we need to do together moving forward to make sure it doesn't happen again, so that we can learn to trust each other, so that we can learn that it's safe to be open with each other about our wants, our needs, our concerns, our desires, and to trust each other to talk through these things and make decisions about everything, but especially finances as a couple. That's the virtuous path. That's what God's calling you guys to. And I hope that the insights that you're getting from this call will help reset the focus of that you've been taking to this issue, because what you're doing right now is just setting you up for this thing happening over and over again, and it's not going to help her become more responsible or you be able to trust her. Thanks so much for the call. I hope that these ideas will help. And again, if you need more support, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And listeners, if you are stuck in a place where you keep rehashing old arguments or recycling past hurts, and you're looking for ways to stop settling and start healing, we hope that you'll reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.